So you coached football your senior year?
Yes.
And then you ended up later being offered a basketball job. What did you end up? Were you a teacher then after that?
Well, while I was in college, after school, I worked out. I had the job of secretary manager at the Chamber of Commerce, and it was a three-hour-a-day job, and got back in the National Guard, and
did they make you lieutenant?
I had just graduated in 1950, and they called the National Guard up again to go to Korea. Well, in the meantime, I went to the military department and to get back in the Guard and asked them what I had to do. And they said, you're already a lieutenant. All you have to do is sign the oath of office. So I went to Korea as first lieutenant. And, of course, lieutenant doing almost the same job that I was doing in World War II. They had changed the name from communications to signal. So I was a signal officer.
So you basically took enough time to coach a year of high school ball, go to college, and then Korea.
Yeah.
Wow.
So from 45 to 50,
yeah.
I finished school. And of course, there was a period in there where I'd done all kinds of odd jobs.
When you went to Korea,
I'm not married yet.
No.
I'm still single.
That's right.
I didn't get married until 52.
Were you in Korea a year then, or how long were you in Korea?
I was in Korea 2 years. Well, I was in Japan and Korea.
At what point did you enter the Korean War? I mean, what was happening? My Korean War history is not great, but I know at one point we got pushed all the way down to the bottom, the Incheon, and then we pushed all the way back.
Right.
You know,
we weren't going to Korea. We went to occupy the camp in Japan, or in Hokkaido, Japan.
Okay.
That's the island.
The northern island?
Right.
Yeah.
And so we were there. The first cab lost their colors.
Which means they were captured?
No.
What does that mean?
It means when you lose your colors, you've lost control. And they pulled them out. And they came back to Japan. And we took their place in Korea.
Was that when we got pushed all the way down to the
end of the peninsula? No. We got there as they were being pushed back up.
So did your unit cross the 38th parallel and push into North Korea? Or what did your unit
do? We didn't go beyond it. The parallel was maintained as the dividing line.
Right.
And I came came back, and all of the National Guard troops that went over, most of them had come home.
Mm.
And then they had a big ceremony and brought the colors back and set up the National Guard again.
Was it pretty cold over there?
Oh, gosh, it's just cold. Miserable. With all the snow and everything, we had in Pine Camp. Wasn't near as bad as the cold over there.
Mm.
It was a miserable cut-in type of cold.
And were you involved in fighting over there, or were you all in the reserves?
Yes. We took over a division's frontline positions.
That had basically been killed? I mean, that division had been decimated?
No.
Because I'm still not sure I understand what you mean when they lose their colors. Do you mean that the enemy captures their commandos?
No. It means that they have lost the ability and desire to fight.
Oh, wow.
And you're not going to find much of this in history. But that's exactly what happened.
Wow. So did those soldiers get...
They left a number of them to fill our ranks. Was the worst bunch of people you ever saw.
Regular Army.
And they went on back to, and of course all of these are draftees.
Oh, right, yeah, that's what I was thinking that they would be. Wow.
And their attitudes and so on. evidently the officers had no control over them. And they thought they knew all the tricks.
And so you all had to deal with them to join your group.
But a big percent of our people, all of our staff officers and all, were World War II veterans. Had, for instance, you rotate on guard duty, you know. So it was time for one of the guys to go on guard duty. And he'd only been on a short time. And he fired his rifle. Of course, scares the hell out of people. You don't know what's going on. What's he shooting at and all? And so go out to the guard post and these are walking posts. In other words, this is not a person in a place. You've got so much ground to cover.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the ring you're after. You're walking your post. And immediately put another person out, and when he came in, I asked what it was. Well, it was just an accident, and So, Sergeant Guard said, we've replaced him. It's all right. And I said, no, it's not all right. I said, he's going to walk the post. He's not going to carry a rifle, but he's going to walk the post. And he said, you can't do that to me. I said, what? What am I doing to you? He said, making me walk the post. I said, weren't you walking the post? Yes, sir. Okay, you're walking the post. Go out and walk the post. So the sergeant took him out, and he walked the post. So time to change. Change for 4 hours. When he made change, they come in, go through the procedures of passing on the orders and so on, and the person that went out to do the relief started off, the other kids started with him. I said, hey, where are you going? I'm going to bed. I said, you can't go to bed. You're going to go help the guy that just left because he doesn't know what's going on and you need to be with him. And I get this, you can't do this to me. And I says, I can't? He said, no. He said, I know my rights. And I said, what are your rights? And he stumbled and hem-hawed around. And I said, you're looking at Lieutenant Peters. And I'm the duty officer. You're here to walk guard. You're going to walk with him. So he walked his tour. Turned out a pretty nice kid.
I'm straightened out. Thank you for taking so much time to share a lot.
Well, I told you more than you wanted to know.
No, you actually didn't. You actually didn't. And there's some remarkable things in there that I had not. I knew a little bit about you being in Italy because I'd heard you tell a story or two in men's group about probably Salerno, but I definitely didn't know as much about that whole episode. So,
when I retired, Lucille and I, in fact, just a short time after my retirement, she and I went to Hawaii, and took the ship around the island, mm-hmm. stopping at all of the...
Right.
And, man, that really... I really like that. And then I took a... she and I took a trip to England. And I visited... yeah, well, we went for the Wood Badge reunion in Gilwell. So, of course, we traveled by bus from place to place and wound up in London, and then from London we took the train out to Gilwell, which is when you get to Gilwell, you're up on a mountain and you're looking down into the town of London, or the city of London. But then, and I told her, you know, that they had had the float trips, and so we went to Egypt, and floated. No, we went to Europe and floated the Rhine, and I got hooked because, man, you go on, hang your clothes up, and you float down and see the scenery, and you pull into a harbor or to a place where you get off, and you see the things that are going on there. We did that. The Rhine, the Yangtze, Russia, Japan. All the major waterways. And my wife has books where she wrote, I took pictures.
Yeah.
And then she put it all together, and they're in folders up.
Did you all visit Pearl Harbor when you were in Hawaii?
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. That's one of the major places. Well, then, of course, we flew over. We flew a refueling plane from Altus to Hawaii, and stayed 5 days at the Halakoa.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's beautiful. Did you retire from the Guard then? Were you did you stay as a career in the Guard, or after Korea did you get out?
I stayed. Well, that's where they put basketball. I was working on my master's degree at OU, and coming home and working for Fred Snyder as an electrician. And wasn't making too much money, the superintendent from Texoma came and understood that I was looking for a job, and I was looking for a basketball job. Well, I really wasn't, but I was looking for any kind of job. And he said that Steve Shepard had sent me and told me if I wanted boys to learn basketball, that I would be their man. And he said he had nothing but praises for you. And said, we're looking for a basketball coach. Said, of course, we'll have a couple of classes to teach, and said, we'll work that out. So I went up to Texoma and looked over the situation, met the school board and some of the people of the community, and that was July. Yeah, late July. And so the job with Fred was okay, but I talked to one of my friends. He was the operations officer in Korea, and I was the signal officer, and we were working together. And so I met him, and he wanted to know what I was doing, and I told him. And I said, I've got to find a job. I said, I'm married, got a son, need to start making some money. And he said, well, why don't you go talk to Colonel Ruth? Said, he hires people on a part-time basis down at the military department. And so I dressed up, went down to see Colonel Ruth. I knew him, had worked with him some in scouting, and being in the National Guard, everyone knew that USPFO. So I went in and told him I was looking for a job. And Bill had already told him that I was coming down. Mm-hmm. So he said, all right, said, go over to the warehouse and report to McConaughey. And I said, well, I'll go home and change clothes. And he said, you came down to work, didn't you? I said, yes, sir. And he said, McConaughey will take care of you. So I went over, and he went back to the closet and threw out some fatigues for me and said, we're building shelves. And we were putting steel shelves together. Oh. And I worked, came home, told my wife that working for him. And I worked in the warehouse. They took inventory and put two cards in every stack or every bin or whatever. And you'd take one, count it, and turn it in, and someone else come along and do the same thing. Then they'd compare the cards, see if they were the same. Mm-hmm. Then give them to the poster. And back then they were using the big what was in the card? Anyway, it was the same thing as the banks were using. In that, if you had an account, you had a card. Mm-hmm. And I got through with the counting part, so I went back to help them. And they were stamping the cards with the stamp inventory, and then writing in what the count was. And if there was a difference in what was on the stock record card, then you had to make an adjustment. So I asked why they were stamping the cards. And they said, well, that's the inventory. Or for the inventory. And I said, well, the machine will do that. And so I took a card and showed him. Well, the person in charge, his name was Shrum. And Shrum said, that's not the way we do it. You stamp them and put the number in. All right. So I did that, and then I got to thinking, you know, I can sit here and stamp all of these, then go back and start entering the numbers. And if I slow down and don't do very many of these, it's almost quitting time anyway. And this is Friday. And tomorrow, I can come down here when just the colonel and two or three people that he's asked to stay, and I can post those things.
By using the machine?
What?
By using the machine?
Shoot, yes. About three. Pull that thing and you're through. Put another one in. So, I did it. And I posted all of the cards. And went home real proud of myself. And said, when... on Monday, when I went back to work, I went in and I was standing around waiting to see what comes up next. I've counted. The shelves are completed and the posting is all done, and I'm just waiting for my next order. Go do this. And Drum comes in and says, you got to get those cards stamped. And I said, they're all stamped. What do you mean they're stamped? I said, I took care of that Saturday. And he came over and picked up the cards. Oh, he was mad. And he was raising hell and going on and, what was I doing when he had told me that I had to stamp the card? Well, this only went on for a very few seconds because Colonel Ruth walked in about that time. And he says, what's the problem? And Shrum said, Peter didn't stamp the cards, and so he got them all in the tub. Well, of course, as I was doing it, I was putting them where they're supposed to be. And the colonel walked over and pulled one of them up and looked at it and said, how did you do this? And I said, the Burroughs machine does it. And he said, well, how? And I said, I showed him, you know, here's the procedure. He said, can you show the rest of the stock record people how to do this? And I said, yes, sir. So a little later, I have them all gathered around, and I'm taking blank cards and putting them in and showing them that if you have a balance and you punch this just like you've been doing to take out, put back in, now it's time to find your inventory. Then you put in what you counted and you hit this button that says inventory and pull the lever. Hey, you know, great. A little bit later, Ruth comes in and says, what are you going to do? And I said, what? He said, are you going to go to school? Are you going to go teach school? Or are you going to work for me? And, well, I've got a job. And before I could answer him, he said, if you'll go to work for me, I'll take care of you. I like those words. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'll work for you. I came home and got on the telephone and called Texoma and apologized. I'm not going to be able to make it. I've got a job that's going to pay me more money. It's going to be a little more secure, I think. So I went to work for them, and of course, working for them, you've got to be in the National Guard. So I worked for him. I wound up going over to North Little Rock, Arkansas, and worked in the National Guard Profession Education Center as an instructor in logistics. I went over as a guest instructor three times, and the third time I went over, they wanted to know why I didn't apply for the job. And I said, I didn't know. Said, well, we sent notices to all of the USPFOs that there was an opening over here. And so they gave me an application. I filled it out. Of course, it had to be signed. And so I brought it back and asked them why they didn't post the vacancies that occur over the system.
Right.
So they went ahead and signed my release, and I moved over there and worked over there a couple of years as an instructor. And my retirement was getting real close. And I was on the rewrite committee for the Boy Scouts of America to rewrite the Wood Badge syllabus. And we had completed it, and we were to make our report at the national meeting in Washington, D.C. And so I had told them that I needed 3 days off to go to Washington, and had been given permission. And in the meantime, got a new director of the center.
To replace Colonel Ruth?
What? No.
Oh, you're talking about the Arkansas Center.
Arkansas.
The Arkansas Center, yeah.
Colonel Ruth, by the way, had already retired and Wilson had taken his place. And but anyway, they came to me and told me that my leave had been canceled. And then I said, I've got to go. I said, I was told I could, and I got it all set. And he said, well, gosh, I can't remember his name. Anyway, he said, can't do it. So I said, well, you tell him how important this is to me, because this is a committee that I've worked on for a long time, and I'm going to be there when they make that report. And came back and said, he said, forget it. By this time, I'm getting just a little bit teed, so I I went up to headquarters and told asked him what I would get if I retired, and they said, well, they'd work it out. Tell me what it was. So next day I went over, and they'd taken all of my time and everything, and had figured it out. And the difference in what I was making and what my retirement would be was less than $20.
Oh my gosh.
I said, I quit. And they said, when you want this dated? And I said, I'm leaving on Thursday. I think that this was on Tuesday. Yes. I said, I'm leaving on Thursday. I'm going to Washington. And I said, okay. So on Wednesday, I went over and signed everything. Lucille and I had moved to Arkansas. So I told Lucille what I'd done. And she said, are you going to stay here? I said, no, we're going back home. And she said, well, while you're gone, I'll start packing. And I said, yeah. So I got on the phone, called the person that we bought the house from, and told him that we had a house for sale. And I went to Washington, made the meeting. We reported on our project, and when I got back, Lucille had already shown the house, and the person that wanted the house came around and had a counter offer, and I told him no. I said, told him what we had paid for the house, what we had done to the house, and would put in a new air conditioner, and I'd done a lot of work on the place. And so I said, it's actually worth more than I'm asking. And he said, he'd think about it. And had another person come and check with me, and I told him. And he said, all right, he and his wife would think about it. I said, well, I've got somebody else that's thinking about it. And so the guy came back, and he said, you won't change your mind. I said, no. I said, I've got somebody else looking. Well, he said, you have? I said, yeah. He said, okay. So he bought the house, and short time, we're loaded up in a U-Haul coming back home. So, but over the years, I've had a great time.
We didn't even get into a lot of the scouting stuff. No, there's a lot of that. I mean, you did a little bit with the Woodman story as far as the syllabus, but there's lots of scouting stories as well.
Well, only 40, I mean 74 years.
Yeah, that's all. Well, I think I better go. My wife is probably wondering what's happened.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry.
In the interview.
Sorry.
No, this is no need for an apology. The word is, for me, thank you. Thank you for your time. And I will, with your permission, not only, you know, share this audio with you, but a couple of those stories I would probably like to take out and maybe put some pictures with and share some of those in a little bit shorter form.
Okay.
If that's all right with you.
All right. Mm-hmm.
I'm delighted to get to do this. You know, we do these kind of projects a lot, and I've interviewed different people, but I really enjoy being able to hear for so many reasons. You know, there's so many different experiences. I mean, obviously the military stuff is of interest to me, but I've certainly never met anyone that graduated from high school at the same time they coached the football team. Never knew that.
Well, you know, there's there's all kinds of things that happen that are funny. There's a lot of funny things that happen in the military.
Absolutely.
Is that still on?
We can turn it off. You want me to turn it off?
Yeah.